Please take your Bibles and turn with me now to the Gospel of John, John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35. Our message series is called Christ, Our Purpose. We're taking some time this fall to really review our church's purpose statement and to see how this statement reflects God's purposes for his church. That's what we're really trying to get at, is what is God's purposes for the church? We talked about how a purpose statement is a valuable tool both for planning and evaluating the ministries and activities of a church. You know, there's so many things we could be doing as a church, but we want to make sure we're doing the things God has called us to do, and that's why we have a purpose statement. You know, the purpose statement tells us why we're here, what we're supposed to be doing, helps keep us on track. Now, we measure our church's activities by our purpose statement, but we measure our purpose statement by Scripture, because we want to make sure everything we do as a church reflects God's purposes for the church as revealed in his word. Now, if you take your worship guide inside, you'll see an insert. There's an outline of the message on one side, and you'll find our purpose statement on the back side. If you want to take that out and look at that, let me just read you our purpose statement again. The purpose of Plantation Community Church is to make disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ by calling people to Christ, helping them grow in Christ, receiving them into fellowship and service, involving them in personal and group worship, sharing God's love in Broward County and beyond, and teaching and equipping people for ministry. And you'll notice it's an acrostic. If you look at each of those six phrases, spell them down, what do you get? Christ. Because Jesus Christ, he is the purpose for our church. He is the reason we are here. So the past 2 weeks, we looked at our first two purposes, calling people to Christ, helping them grow in Christ. Today, we come to purpose number three, receiving people into fellowship and service. We'll look at a number of scripture passages throughout the message, but we're going to begin with this passage right here in the Gospel of John. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? John chapter 13, reading verses 34 and 35. The words of our Lord Jesus, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This is the word of God. Let us pray, dear God, as we look into your word now, this passage and others, as we discuss the church and what it means to be a part of a church and belong to a church family, speak to us through your word this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So our first purpose as a church is simply calling people to Christ. Calling people to Christ. We do this by sharing the gospel with them. We share the good news that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and he rose again to be your Savior. Then as people come to Christ, we help them grow in Christ. We do this as we encourage them to read God's word, to spend time in prayer, to seek out Christian fellowship, and to serve. We'll talk more about that this morning as well. But this next step now is receiving people into fellowship and service. You see, helping people grow in Christ, that's all about individual personal growth. Receiving people into fellowship and service is all about church growth. They're both important. God wants us to grow individually as Christians, but then he also wants his church to grow. Jesus came not only to save people, but to build his church. Today, we're going to be talking about the church, what it means to belong to a local church, what it means to commit to the local church in membership. Why is it so important to be a part of the church? Why do we receive people into fellowship and service? There are many reasons, but we're going to look at three this morning. Number one, the church is a family. It's a family where we love each other as Jesus loved us. Number two, the church is a body. We're a body where each part does its work. And number three, the church is God's appointed means of advancing his kingdom here on earth. Once again, the outline in your worship guide has all three of those if you'd like to follow along and take notes. So let's get started. Number one reason, the church is a family where we love each other as Jesus loved us. You know, the night before Jesus died on the cross, he was there in the upper room. He met with his disciples and he told them this. We just read these verses from John 13. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, one of the things Jesus did that night was wash each of his disciples' feet. I don't know if you've ever washed feet before, maybe a child's feet in the bathtub. This was a whole lot different. These are grown adults walking in sandals across dusty roads. This was dirty, smelly work, usually reserved for household servants and slaves. You did not want to be the one who got foot washing duty for the night, okay? But what did Jesus do? He got down from the table, got down on the floor, washed each of his disciples' feet. And when he had finished, he asked them, this is also in John 13, he asked them, do you understand what I've done for you? Do you understand what just happened? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. What Jesus is saying here is that we should have such a love for each other in the body of Christ that we would do anything for each other. Anything. Part of belonging to a church means that we should be willing to humble ourselves and seek what is best for each other regardless of personal cost. Why? Because the church is more than just an organization. It is a fellowship. It is a community. We are family. And that's so important. This aspect of church life, loving each other as Jesus loved his disciples, this will never take place by simply attending the church 1 hour a week on Sundays. If that's what church was all about, if that's all of us ever did, is we open the church for an hour, everybody comes in, we have church, you're gone, and that's it. There's nothing else to do all week long. We don't even think about it till next Sunday. It's not what it's all about. This type of community requires commitment and care and getting involved in each other's lives. And that's why we do so much more here at our church than simply getting together for an hour on Sunday mornings. We have home groups and Bible studies. We have Sunday classes. You know, last week we mentioned all the different classes we have just on a Sunday morning and then throughout the week. A bunch of you grabbed this card on your way out. Some of you said you couldn't find it. It's right there. Look at that welcome desk, the semicircle desk. Grab one this week if you'd like and find a group to get and be a part of. But we do so much more than just get together on Sundays. We've got groups, Bible studies. We get together with friends during the week. We do church picnics. We've done retreats. We do fellowship events just for fun. We work together. We play together. We remember each other's birthdays. We put it in the weekly email. Here's everybody's birthdays for the month so you can reach out. Anniversaries too. We provide meals during times of crisis. We visit each other in the hospital. We pray for each other. And we look for practical ways to help each other during times of need. Why? Because we are not just church goers. We are a family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And this is one of the main reasons why God has given us the church. This is one of God's purposes. God is building together a people who love each other and live in community with each other, which is basically just the way he designed us to live to begin with. And Jesus said that our love for each other in the church then becomes a witness to the world, right? We saw that in verse 35. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Why is it important to be a part of the church? Why do we receive people into fellowship and service? First of all, because the church is a family. We're a family where we love each other as Jesus loved us. Secondly, the church is a body. The church is a body where each part does its work. Paul writes this in Ephesians chapter 4. He writes, instead speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head. That is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, these verses take the spiritual growth, that personal spiritual growth we talked about last week, and now apply it beyond the personal approach to the whole body of Christ. Yes, we want to be growing individually in Christ, but we also want to be growing together as the body of Christ. Christ is the head, we're the body. And as we grow personally in Christ, speaking the truth in love, then we grow up in all things into him who is the head, that is Christ. Once again, Christ is the purpose of the church. And this is another reason why, as a church, we receive people into both fellowship and service. We receive you into fellowship because we're a family. We receive you into service because the church body only works as God intended when everyone does their part. It takes everyone working together. It's just like the human body. Human body works best when every part does what it's supposed to. If my right arm says, you know what, I'm going to take the day off today, I'm going to have a real challenging day ahead of me, aren't I? You would too. Even if you're left-handed, you're going to have a challenging time if a part of the body takes the day off. Same way with the church. The church can only fulfill God's purposes when each part does its work. If you are a Christian, then you are a part of the body of Christ. So the question now becomes, are you fulfilling your part in the body? Are you serving others with your God-given gifts? Now you might wonder, well, what are my God-given gifts? Well, there are a number of things here. First, there are the gifts of time, energy, and resources that God gives to all of us, believers and non-believers alike. Gives us time, energy, and resources. But they come from God, so those are God-given gifts. Sometimes just giving of your time to a project or opening up your home can be a way of serving. Giving financially to the church, that's another part of how we serve the body of Christ, giving of our time and energy and resources. Are you doing that? Are you using your time, energy, and resources to serve others? That's one way of using your God-given gifts. Then there are those particular talents or skills that God has given you through which you can serve others in unique ways, unique to yourself. Some people teach. Others work with their hands. Some have computer skills. Others have artistic abilities. Some have musical gifts. Are you using your specific talents and skills to serve others? And then the Bible also talks about spiritual gifts. Well, about a year ago, we spent a whole fall, we spent like 3 Sundays in a row digging into spiritual gifts, what they are and how they work. But, you know, just a summary, spiritual gifts, every believer has one. You'll find lists of the gifts in various places in Scripture. I'll give you 2 easy places to remember. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. Why is it easy to remember? Because Romans and 1 Corinthians fall, you know, right next to each other in the Bible, both chapter 12. Easy. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. You go to those lists, what do you find? What are these gifts? They include such things as service, teaching, encouragement, giving, leadership, mercy, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, helping, administration, and there are others there as well. Lots of gifts. The Bible tells us spiritual gifts are given to believers through the Holy Spirit in order that we may build others up in the body of Christ. The Bible also tells us every believer has at least one spiritual gift. You may have more than one. So if you are a Christian, once again, that means God has gifted you supernaturally by the Holy Spirit for service in the body of Christ. So I encourage you, study these passages. Go to Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. Read the list. Ask God. Say, God, what spiritual gift have you given me to serve in the body of Christ? How would you have me serve in the church? If you're still not sure, come and talk to one of your pastors. We would love to sit down and help you discern the spiritual gift or gifts that God has given you to serve. People who grow dissatisfied with church are usually people who are not serving. When you serve others, when you give of your time and your energy to the body of Christ, you will very rarely feel disconnected from Christ or the church. That's our second reason why we receive people into fellowship and service. The church is a body where each part does its work. And then thirdly, the church is God's appointed means of advancing his kingdom here on earth. God could have chosen any way he wanted to do this. God chose the church. I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 16 next. In this chapter, Jesus is talking with his disciples, and he asks them, he's like, who do people say I am? And so they give him some of the responses people are having. And after hearing what other people said, Jesus turns the question around on them. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Just a comment on that last part of the verse there. It's okay to tell people now, okay? Right? The fact that the disciples were supposed to keep that a secret until the death and resurrection. Now you can tell anyone you want to that Jesus is the Christ. Now there's a whole lot going on in these verses, but I want us just to focus on verse 18, right in the middle there. After Peter confessed Jesus as both the Messiah, that's what Christ means, as the Messiah and the Son of God, Jesus told him, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Now, the name Peter actually means rock. That's what the name means. If your name is Peter this morning, then you're Rocky, okay? You're Rocky from the movie, okay? Peter means the rock. And so Jesus is making a pun on Peter's name here. Peter has just confessed Jesus as the Christ, as the Son of God. Jesus is saying, Peter, that confession that I'm the Christ, that I'm the Son of the living God, Peter, that confession is rock solid. It is rock solid, and it is upon this confession, upon this rock, Jesus said, I will build my church. In other words, Christ is absolutely foundational to the church. If Christ is not central, then you do not have a church. You got something else. Certainly not the church as God intended it. Real simple equation here. Don't have Christ, don't have a church, right? No Christ, no church. And that's one of the reasons why our church's purpose statement even spells out the name of Christ, because Christ is central. He is the foundation of everything we do as a church. Jesus said he would build his church and the gates of Hades would not overcome it. In other words, the church is God's appointed means of advancing his kingdom here on earth. Now, there are many fine Christian organizations out there doing good work. Ezra and Shannon are here with us this morning from Love Life. They're going to be here back here in a couple weeks sharing with us about Love Life Ministry. Wonderful work in the community. We also support Sheridan House and Hope Women's Centers and Well of Sakar and First Priority and Youth for Christ. We have so many local ministries that we support. But you know what? All of them exist to serve the church and to build up the church. Why? Because it is in the church that God's people come together to fulfill God's purposes of evangelism and fellowship and worship and discipleship. That means if you are not part of the church, then you are not part of God's appointed means to advance his kingdom. Some people say, I don't need to go to church to worship God. I worship God just fine on the golf course. Well, I'm sure you can, and I hope you do. But Jesus didn't say, I will build my golf course. He said, I will build my church. When Jesus told his disciples to go and make disciples of all the nations, what did they do? They went out and they planted churches. They called people to Christ. They helped people grow in Christ. And then they received people into fellowship and service. Hey, where have I heard all that before? Oh, that's right. That's our church's purpose statement. That's what God has called us to do. Why is it important to be a part of the church? Why do we receive people into fellowship and service? Number one, the church is a family where we love each other as Jesus loved us. Number two, the church is a body where each part does its work. And number three, the church is God's appointed means of advancing his kingdom here on earth. God doesn't want you just to come to church. He does want you to come to church, but not just that. He wants you to belong. God doesn't want us just to hold church services on Sunday mornings. He calls us to be a family. He calls us to be the working, functioning body of Christ here in this world. God is working through the church to fulfill his plans for this world. And if you're not a part of the church, then you're missing out. So I want to encourage you this morning. We're coming to our big application point. And if you didn't see this coming from a mile away, you know, time to start paying attention here. Okay, you know this is coming, right? But what's our application this morning? Let me encourage you. Commit yourself in membership to a local church. It's really that simple. Doesn't even have to be here. Just commit yourself to a local church where you feel God is calling you to be. But commit yourself. Now, if this is where you attend, it would make sense for you to join here. We would love to have you join here. In fact, that's why we're having a membership class. 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today, Sunday, October 5th, right after the service, we'll be meeting in the fellowship hall. We'll have sandwiches and lunch. And as you're eating, I'll just be sharing with you about the church and what we believe and how we're organized and answer any questions that you might have. It takes about an hour and 15 minutes, so we try to be out by 1 o'clock. But at the end of that class, you'll understand everything about PCC, and we'll give you an opportunity if you want to become a member of the church to indicate that. And then a few Sundays after that, we'll welcome you into membership here at the church during one of our worship services. I encourage you, if you're not a member of the church and you want to learn more about it, there's no obligation, okay? Even if you eat the sandwich, okay? No obligation. You know, just come, have lunch, learn about the church. And if that sounds good, you sign up because we need to order all the sandwiches. And it helps if you want roast beef, turkey, ham, sign up and plan on coming out October 5th. We'd love to have you there just to share with you more about our church. The purpose of Plantation Community Church is to make disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ by calling people to Christ, helping them grow in Christ, and receiving them into fellowship and service. We don't want just to call you to Christ. We want to help you grow in Christ. And then we want to receive you into membership at our church. You know, God is building his church all around the world. Jesus said he'd do that, and he's doing it. Building his church all around the world. He's building his church right here at Plantation Community. Don't you want to be a part of that? We want you to be a part of that. So we invite you to come and be a part of what God is doing here at Plantation Community Church. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the church. We thank you for a family where we can belong, a body where we can serve, and a means of advancing your kingdom here in this world. Lord, thank you for calling us to be members of a church where we can take part and serve in all sorts of new ways and do our part so the body of Christ can be built up, so that the watching world can see the witness and see how they love each other. Lord, we want to love you and serve you. Build your church here at Plantation Community. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.